Okay, we're going to start off the Feast of Weeks, Shavat, in Acts 2.
Could you spell that, please?
No, I cannot.
S-H-O-A-V-O-T.
S-H-A-V-O-T.
I do not have the correct spelling. I have my handwriting, which is... So the day of Pentecost, the day that the Ruach HaKodesh came down, Holy Spirit is inside the 120, including Jesus Christ's mother and his brethren. Keep going. And what happened was fire came down and accepted the sacrifice, their circumcised heart. 120 Ark of the Covenants. And as they spoke in tongues, the adversary and man started mocking. The same voices that were mocking were the voices that said, Hosanna. But then they were also the voices that said, Crucify him. You can imagine not all of those. Peter stands up. I was leading somebody into speaking in tongues. What is it? 1 Corinthians 14 says, speaking in tongues makes you stronger. Perfect prayer. That's verse 14. And so two things we know, besides that sacred seekers excellently, is that they're praying perfectly for Peter, those others that are speaking in tongues, and for the group as far as we know, because it's perfect prayer. Yahweh knows who needs prayer if you speak in tongues. That's what they're doing in this movement. They rise up in verse 16. But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel. Okay, how many times have you read that? Thousands, possibly. Yeah, the day of Pentecost, it pricks them to their heart. They go, what do we got to do, right? This, what he just said, that this is what had been spoken to the prophet of Joel. What is that prophet of Joel speaking about?
Day of Yahweh.
The day of Yahweh. The day of Yahweh is coming. It is here. Because we'll go there in Malachi 4. When that day comes, the scriptures say the day of Yahweh, the mountains are going to melt. And in Yahweh's minor prophets, just read the minor prophets, it's judgment, 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 whether it's Nineveh or Judah. And here it comes, and when the piper comes back into town, we have the book of Revelation for us. That's going to be the day of Yahweh. You read today, I don't want to be there. No, you don't want to be there. So when he speaks this, and he says this with the power of Yahweh in Christ inside of him like a Moses, what's going through these guys' minds? The judgment is now. I never thought that. If we are in this group, we know that we are the sacred secret for another teaching. We're not going to be here for the day of Yahweh. We'll be taken up. 1 Thessalonians 4. But if a prophet walked in here, and he was a prophet, and we looked, and he had the signs, and spoke these things, and he goes, you've made a mistake. You will be here to the book of Revelation, and it starts now. What would happen to your heart? Anybody that really believes the scriptures would probably get diarrhea, pee their pants. Now, and so what we're going to look at is Yahweh's judgment and the day of Yahweh. So we could, when we look about Shavat or the Feast of Weeks, people are going to call Pentecost. I need to change too, to say what was going through these people's mind, because 3,000 turned and then 5,000 turned and it was off to a big start. Why? The day Yahweh is here. Don't you guys remember what Yahweh did to Egypt? Are you kidding me? Do you not remember what happened to Manasseh, Zedekiah? When Yahweh gives judgment, and this isn't a judgment, this is the final judgment. The owner of the vineyard is coming home. The chickens are coming home to roost. And so, until I was reading the minor prophets, almost through my second tour through the Bible within a year, I'm reading this about the day of Yahweh, and then I get to the book of Joel and went, this is what the Hebrews would have been reflecting on. If this is true, we are in deep. And they did turn. But some of them turned. Before we go on next, you're the only one who can answer this. Okay, act like it's not a trick question.
I'm going with what?
I'm going to ask you to answer a question.
Okay.
Okay. I'll give you a riddle. Guess who it's about. The prophet from Galilee. He's a Galilean. Okay? Prophet from Galilee. He gave his life and died to save a nation and was resurrected 3 days later. Who is the prophet?
Yahushua.
Jesus Christ. It's Jonah. Jonah. It's also our Lord and Savior, Yahushua. But I'd read it before because it's in my own notes that Jonah was a Galilean. And as I'm reading through, I go, I got to back this up. I got to do some research. Where is it? And in my own notes from another book I read. So then we're going to come back because no sign will be given to these wicked unbelievers or these ones that are rejecting the owner of the vineyard except the sign of Jonah. And as Jonah was what? In the heart, he was dead 3 days and three nights because Jesus Christ was dead. It was a sign about Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So the Son of Man be. So how important was Jonah? Think about that with Jesus Christ. When those words came out of his mouth, when we prophesy, I don't know what's going to be coming out necessarily. Jesus Christ had to produce faith. He's the Son of the living Elohim. He's our example. The words coming out of his mouth, I wonder how many times he marveled because Yahweh was speaking through him like Moses speaking through. And this prophet, Jesus Christ, when he said the sign of Jonah, the Galilean, the prophet from Galilee, who was dead 3 days and three nights. Scriptures didn't say he's dead 3 days and three nights before that. But when he says that, would Jesus Christ have known that? I don't know. I'm guessing. But what if he didn't know it? And then the words come out like a prophecy. He's like, ooh. The prophet from Galilee who gave his life to save a nation. Jonah didn't know that he was going to save Nineveh. He didn't know that. And the Ninevites and Israel are very similar in both prophecies. Yahweh is a creator of the universe. He gives prophecies and rules. But if you blow it, you're not getting this. Your behavior can determine, it can undo prophecies. Think about a guy said he was going to buy his daughter like a Camaro for her 16th birthday. She was being so good and this and that and this and that. And there was no contingencies when he said it. But then she got drunk and came home late and screamed at her mom and did something. And dad said, it's done. You blew it. Well, you said it. I don't have to do nothing. So Yahweh will speak, do prophecies. He did a prophecy to Hezekiah. He also did it with Jonah. And I never noticed it, but he said 40 days. What's the number 40? Probation. I never noticed that. Jonah didn't know they were going to turn necessarily. He might have, because there was prophecy saying that Judah is going to be carried away. So some people believe that's why he didn't want them to turn, because these are going to be the people carrying him away. The scriptures don't say that. But Nineveh dodged a bullet because of their behavior. And Jesus Christ, well, we're going to find out at the end of the book of Acts 13, he came back, or he came the day Yahweh was going to happen. It did not happen. Why? The behavior of the Jews. They rejected Yahweh again. And Yahweh, who did the door get opened up to? The Ninevites. All of us.
Gentiles.
And here's Yahweh going, really? Really? The resurrection, the new earth is right here. And here's the owner of the venue. How many Jews we got? About 9,000, boss. 9,000? Put everything on abatement. It's not happening. Open up the doors. And Yahushua spoke these parables. He said, what would happen to the owner of the vineyard when he sends his son? And they murdered his son. And what did his disciples say? It was Matthew 15, I think. Matthew. What did his disciples say what they'd do to, when they murdered the owner of the vineyard's son? You'd kill him. Right. And here's Jesus Christ being rejected. But we're going to look at the day of Yahweh. Here's some scriptures. So we won't look at all of it. And then I was going to look at some... Okay. But with Jonah, is he a Galilean? Is he not a Galilean? Chapter and verse. Are you just making something up? I got a reputation for that. Turn to 2 Kings 14. So I can back it up. It's okay to make big claims if you can back it up. Okay, 2 Kings 14. So this is not what the teaching's about. I'm thinking about during the day of Pentecost, because Jesus Christ didn't know on the Feast of Weeks that shortly after that they're going to reject him. They're going to reject, and during Jonah's time, who had already rejected Jonah or rejected Yahweh? Judah. Where is he from? Galilee. Well, we haven't found that out yet. So the Jews have rejected Yahweh with Jonah, and where does Yahweh go? Go to Nineveh. And this is the wedding. Remember that? He invited all these people to the wedding feast, and nobody shows up because they're too busy. And Yahweh's like, go get everybody out of the streets. Bring them all in. And so here's all these parables. And now, the sacred secret about the Jews and the body of Christ was a secret. Nobody knew about this. And when Yehoshua was speaking these things about the wedding feast, it was not necessarily applying to us. But after the resurrection, Christ is at the right hand. He's running the boss's office. And he's going, what? Are you kidding me? The day Yahweh's supposed to be, I'm supposed to come back on a horse. Remember, I prophesied this generation is not going to, we'll still be here when I come back. And it's going to be just like Hezekiah's prophecy. So E.W. Bullinger believes everything was postponed because Israel rejected Messiah. It does not specifically say that, though. But here's Yehoshua reading that. You can imagine in his own, in his perfect mind, about the wedding feast and then rejecting him and going, this is what just happened to me. Let's see here. Gotta write it down. I know where it is. Give me a second. Second Kings 14:25. Somebody read that if you guys are already there.
He restored the boundary of Israel from the entering in of Hamath unto the sea of the waste plain.
No. I wrote down the wrong one. That's the wrong reference. In 2 Kings, all you got to do is Google search Jonah. And it's going to say that Jonah was a prophet and he was from... I had it right here somewhere. That's not what the teaching's about. But Jonah was from a place called Gath Hepher. Okay, so that was the first thing. And so Gath Hepher, guess where that's close to?
Galilee.
Nazareth. Jesus Christ is in Nazareth. So Jonah was right down the street from... The second map is going to show you that Galilee is kind of like a state. There's towns inside of it. So the Second Kings will say that Jonah was from Gath Hepher. So what? What's that mean? You got to do a little bit. You got to get roll your sleeves up. Where's Gath Hepher?
Gath Hepher.
It says Gith in one and Gath in the other. So there must be a couple different ways of spelling it. But you'll find out it's in Galilee. So Jonah was a prophet from Galilee.
Yeah, it is in verse 25.
Is it 25?
Yeah.
Okay, would you read that, please?
Yeah, finish it. Restore the boundaries of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the waste plain, according to the word of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, which he spake by the hand of the servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet who was of Gath Hepher.
Okay. Yeah, and so for some reason I was looking at the wrong side of the page. It's right there. So thank you for keep reading it. So 2 Kings 14:25, Gath Hepher. So what? I couldn't believe it wasn't footnoted already. I'm like, wow, this is so cool. But anyways, now we're going to read about, turn to Amos 1:2. So you can imagine, children are here watching if a prophet did walk in and say, the book of Revelation is opened up right now. What we have to do is we have to teach everybody what that's going to be like. Do you have a page number on that?
873.
Yeah. 873.
And you can imagine children, you need to hear this. You're going to be going through this. The days weren't short and nobody's going to make it. And so people will be sitting there going, yikes. So that's what we're going to be looking at, the day of Yahweh. Just a couple different things. Not just the day of Yahweh, because some of the stuff's just judgment. But it's the owner of the vineyard coming. 1 verse 2. So then he said, Yahweh out of Zion will what?
Roar.
I put a footnote there because in Exodus 9:28, the Egyptians said, please tell Moses to stop because they were hearing the thundering of Elohim. You can imagine a T-Rex screaming right over your head. That's a lot of volume. Good theatrics. How about the creator of the universe when he wants to get your attention? You ever seen a father lose it? Another real important thing about all this is you have to understand Yahweh is slow to anger, slow to anger, slow to anger, but eventually it's going to pop. I wish I would have known that growing up, because sometimes I thought I was kind of getting away with it. It must be okay because I'm getting away with it. I didn't know. He's watching, and he's smoldering like a volcano. And me as a teenager probably, and a lot of Israel and Judah thinking the same thing. If Yahweh doesn't like it, then why are we doing it? If Yahweh doesn't like it, then why can't we have three gods? If Yahweh doesn't like it, why can't Catholics pray to these different images? If he's jealous, obviously he's putting up with it, right? Well, you don't know. Is this Elohim smolders and smolders and smolders. Yahweh out of Zion is going to roar, and out of Jerusalem will utter his voice, and the pastures of the shepherds shall mourn. Ah! Imagine people just, a land full of fainting goats. Have you ever seen the fainting goat? Ah! He's very good with our anatomy. You know that? And there's certain noises going to paralyze you. Yahweh knows how all this stuff works. And when he comes, he warned you. I remember one time I was pushing him, trying to instigate a fight with my brother. Call him, and he just beat me up. For some reason, I was yelling at him, and I wanted him to chase me. I don't know why. He's faster than me. But this is my retaliation. I started yelling and saying all these things. I did not know my dad was home that day, and he was in the garage. And I'm saying anything to get my big brother to chase me. And all of a sudden, I hear, I wanted to hit my closet like this. My dad came in, and I didn't move. Then he turned to walk, and I went, oh, I got a fess up. I'm here, Dad. Don't ever run from me again. I learned my lesson. But this is not like that. This is going to be judgment day and pay up. And so Amos chapter 5, verse 18.
Amos?
Yeah, Amos. So judgment. And so this is what was going through the Hebrews' ears and Peter's ears, all of the ears, Miriam, Jesus' mother's ears. What's getting ready to happen? You guys better buckle up, man. Get your shoes tied, because verse 18, alas for them who are longing for the day of Yahweh. Christians who want to go through the book of Revelation. Oh, this is the book of Revelation. You've never read the book. Because Yahweh says nobody's going to want to be there. Alas for them who are longing for the day of Yahweh. What good to you is the day of Yahweh, it being darkness, not light, as a man should flee from a face of a lion, and they should meet him a bear. That's what the book of Revelation is. That's what's happening on the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. You're going to flee? Don't let me forget about going back to Joel. Look at verse 21. I hate and despise your festivals. How do you think Yahweh felt when they were killing the Passover lamb as his son was dying or dead on the cross now because the sun's going down? Your festivals for me. Turn to Obadiah 1:15. You tell somebody you want to know about the book of Revelation, just read the minor prophets and get a good idea of the things before the book was written. This is 881.
What?
Next book after Amos.
881.
What verse?
What? 15. Which also kind of neat, as long as we're here in the Rotherham, the world's most accurate Bible, if you go right above Obadiah, footnote C says, Crete is the original home of the Philistines. Did not know that. That's what Rotherham says.
Wait a minute, where is that?
I'm chasing rabbits, but there's Rotherham says Crete was the original home of the Philistines. Philistine just means immigrants. Interesting. But verse 18, chapter 1, or verse 15, for near is the day of Yahweh upon all the nations. Just as thou hast done, shall it be done to thee. Thy dealings shall come back on thine own head, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Hillary, Joe Biden, Who are these wicked people in our CIA? All the rest of this stuff that hate President Trump, that hate Jesus Christ. It's coming back. Yahweh's not mocked. Galatians 6, 7 says, Yahweh's not mocked. That what a man should sow you. Well, I've been getting away with it. No way he gets away with anything. Well, then why hasn't this happened? He's slow to anger, but he'll deal with you in a little bit. Think about a parent. You go over there. I'll get you in a minute. Oh, you better be cooking. Nahum 1 verse 12. So we're going from left to right, hopefully. Verse 1, chapter 2, Nahum. Really neat about this, because the day of Pentecost on Shavuot, the day of Yahweh was happening. Now, it's the beginning, it's not necessarily right then and now, but this is, what do they call those movies right before you watch a movie? What is that called?
Preludes
or whatever.
Preface.
The commercial before the main event that's happening. And then it gets postponed. Nahum is about Nineveh. And this is 87 years after Jonah. They're going to be judged. They dodged the bullet. A neat thing about Jonah, the Ninevites, they dodged the bullet. How long is 87 years? How long does a man live? That could be two generations that were delivered. Yahweh saved two generations because their heart turned. Okay, we're fine. We got away with it. Think about the generations after Hezekiah, after these guys. We can get away with this. Yahweh's slow to anger 87 years later. Yahweh's talking to Nineveh. Verse 2, A.L., jealous and avenging is Yahweh. An avenger is Yahweh. And a lord of what?
Wrath.
Wrath. And a retainer of anger is he to his foes. If you mock his word, the written word, not the traditions of men, if you despise the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues and prophesying, if you hate his name, Yahweh, that offends you, he'll deal with you later. But you see, Yahweh is slow to anger, Nineveh, but great in vigor. He will not leave unpunished. Think about all the Jews that were tricked when they said, crucify him. Who did we just kill? Yahweh's... We killed Yahweh's son before the day of Yahweh? As if the day of Yahweh couldn't have been worse. We just said, crucify him. It came out of my mouth. Go to chapter 2, verse 2. It's talking about Yahweh's... Because Yahweh's going to talk about him coming with his angels. And so this is probably going to be... it could be men. It could be like King David. But if you want to know like David's mighty men, chapter 2, verse 3, he's talking about his men of valor. The shield of his heroes is made red. The men of war are clad in crimson on fire, are the chariot steels on that day he maketh ready. The lances are put in motion. In the streets may go madly go the chariots. They rush along the broadway. Their appearance is like torches. As lightning hither and thither do they run. Go down to verse 5. Yet the storming cover is prepared. The gates of the river have been opened. And the palace doth what? Quake. In the book of Revelation, it says that the blood's going to be up to the mouth of the bridle of the horse. There's going to be so much blood. So Yahweh's giving people an idea. If you're choosing to go through this, you did it. Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3 verse 8. Wherefore, wait for me, urgeth Yahweh, until the day when I rise up as witness.
Wait a minute, where are you?
3 verse 8, Zephaniah 8:98.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and read it?
Hear, I pray thee, O Yahushua, the high priest, thou and thy friends who are sitting before thee. For men to serve as signs they are. For behold me, bringing in my servant the bud. For lo, the stone which I have set before Yahushua, upon one stone are seven pairs of eyes. Behold me, cutting the engraving thereof.
You're not
reading.
Zechariah.
You're Zechariah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Somebody else read.
Go ahead, Dad. Would you read 8 through 11?
Wherefore, away from me, urges Yahweh, until the day when I rise up as witness. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out of them mine indignation, all the glow of my anger. For in the fire of my jealousy shall be devoured the whole earth.
What's going to be devoured?
The whole earth. Surely then will I turn unto the peoples a lip made pure, that they may call on the name of Yahweh, may serve him with one consent. For beyond the rivers of Ethiopia...
Let me skip down to verse 11.
Just go to 11?
Yeah.
In that day will thou not turn pale for all thy deeds wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then will I take away out of thy midst thy proudly exulting ones, and thou shalt not again be haughty any more in my holy mountain.
My holy mountain. Verse 15. Yahweh hath set aside thy judgments, hath turned back thy foe, the king of Israel, Yahweh in the midst, and is near by Jerusalem. Because he's talking about it could be the millennial kingdom in the book of Revelation. And it's going to talk about the owners coming home. Yahweh has not been here since Revelation, so to speak. Genesis, when he walked in the cool of the day. And he's going to start talking, and I think in this next one you're reading, Zechariah, he's going to talk about his feet coming down on the mountain. Do you think a volcano would get your attention? You think tornadoes going over the top of you would get your attention? There's a movie in 2012 where everything's being destroyed. You think that would get your attention? That is nothing. Yahweh is the author of fear and reverence. So on the day of Pentecost, the Shavuot, what's going through their mind going, holy moly, is this true? They'll go to, let's see here, Zechariah 13:7. 13:7. A sword awake against my shepherd, even against the man that is my companion, urgeth Yahweh of hosts, smite the shepherd and let the flock be scattered. What? Does that sound familiar? When did Christ quote that? When they came to deliver him and his disciples or his apostles were scattered? I guess probably both. So Christ quotes that. And in Christ's mind, what's supposed to happen next after he is resurrected? Then we go right into the day of Yahweh. Verse 3. Would somebody read that for me?
Of chapter 14?
Yeah, let me see here. Oh, yeah, verse 3, I'll read. And so this is what was supposed to happen right after the day of Shavuot, right around then. Verse 3. Then will Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations, just as he did in the day when he fought in the day of the battle. Yea, his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. Where are these guys? They're close to the Mount of Olives. I'll tell you that much. Holy moly. Which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall what? He's going to split it in half. You heard of an earthquake, right? He's going to split in asunder, and this is really going into the book of Revelation, to my understanding, because he's going to split it. So he's going to be going right into, you go down to verse 8, he's going to talk about living waters. It's going to be after all these things are happening, but it's still talking about Yahweh coming down, cleaving things asunder. Verse 5, and shall ye flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach very near. He shall flee just as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Yahweh, or king of Judah. Then shall arrive what?
Yahweh.
He's coming back. The owner of the vineyard is coming back. Like, and does he know about theatrics? Is he good at writing? Understatement. Now turn to Malachi. Talking about Christians today, this one verse is going to be a digression, but people getting down and singing songs, oh, I'll do anything for you, and then they're singing to a God, Holy Spirit. Yahweh's a jealous God. There is no God beside him. His Son is at his right hand. His Son. And they're doing these songs and these festivals, and you want how Yahweh feels? First command, I am Yahweh the Elohim. Thou shalt not have any other Elohims beside us. Well, God the Holy Spirit and God the Son is you. Aaron said the same thing when he made a golden calf. How was that dealt with? 3,000 people died and they were plagued. Save your excuses for your own judgment. And so, in chapter 2, verse 3, behold me, threatening on your account thy seed. This is Yahweh speaking. And I will scatter what?
Refuge.
Refuse? Dirty diapers on your what?
Faces.
And refuse on your festivals. No, but we sang beautiful music and it was so that's a separate thing. That's how Yahweh feels when people digress from His Word. He has a son. His name is Yehoshua. But let me see here. Go to chapter 4. But it's neat, through all these warnings, like in chapter 3, verse 7, at the end of it, Yahweh's warning them. I'm slow to anger. Come on, guys. You think about parents not wanting to discipline their kids on Christmas or their birthday. Don't push it. Return ye unto me, that I may return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. Do what Nineveh did. And you know what? After Nineveh turned, can you imagine Jonah going, well, maybe this will be the sign that will turn the Jews. Would that make sense? Maybe I'll go back to Galilee and they'll get to hear what happened in Nineveh. There's a revival. And maybe they'll turn. I didn't say that, but I can imagine that's what my heart would be if I was a Jew. These are my people. Especially if they're getting ready to be carried away. Because it says you're going to be carried away from another nation. Now the Ninevites just turned. They're probably going to be the nation, but maybe you guys will turn too, right? And what do? They rebelled. Spat right in Yahweh's face, right in Jonah's face. But the Ninevites didn't. And yet, just please turn. But here, before we go here, keep your finger here, turn to Matthew 17. I had somebody, because one of our business meetings, on Good Friday, they're going to have homosexual Republicans come and talk. And Christians tried to pressure me into going, saying, you love the sin, you love the sinner, you hate the sin. What were the Christians trying to do? Peer pressure me in. So we got to stick together. And here's how we're going to stick together. We're going to break 1 Corinthians 5. We're going to eat with fornicators. No. Well, Aaron, you'll be left out if you don't get in. This is how we stick together. After one of the meetings, another guy came to me and says, I didn't go either, but I thought about going, just to be there. He goes, did you think about going? I said, I fear the judge. I fear the judge more than what Christians say, whether I blend in or not. I'm going before Jesus Christ. I'm forbidden to do that. I wouldn't expect a Jew to do it either. And he went, huh, he's not thinking about the judge. That we are saved by grace, but we will be judged, and things are going to go through the fire. And well, I got to stick with the group. Catholics are going to stay Catholic so they can be with Catholics. That's fine; they have their reward. Protestants who mock Catholics and they mock Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. Yeah, Yahweh feels about hypocrites. You Protestants, He hates hypocrites. You and you're adding to the scriptures with Anastasia and Basil and your three gods. And like, holy moly, you've been thinking about your judgment. But in Matthew chapter, what did I say?
17.
10. Would you read that for me?
And the disciples questioned him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must needs come first? And he answering said, Elijah indeed cometh, and will restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah just now came, and they recognized him not, but did with him whatever they pleased. Thus the Son of Man also is destined to suffer by them.
Okay, you got that? Now go back to Malachi, chapter 3. Chapter 3. And don't read it yet. We're going to read verse 5. I'm getting a stirring to maybe share something else with it too, but where did it say that Jesus Christ was out of Bethlehem? Was that Hosea or
Micah,
okay. So they say, why do they say Elijah must come first? his disciples are asking our Lord. But now let's go back to verse, now read, I'm sorry, 4, verse 5. It is 4. Would somebody read that?
Lo, I am sending unto you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awful day of Yahweh.
So what's coming before the great and awful day of Yahweh?
Elijah.
And what did we just read in Matthew 17?
John the Immerser.
John the Immerser. That means Elijah had come. What's happening next? And you can imagine a whole other way of looking at the passion of the Christ, even Jesus' mom, these guys going, we're going to die. The odds are we're going to die. How are you going to die? Because you're getting ready for this kind of judgment? Let me see here. There was a... But it's also in Micah. It talks about out of Bethlehem was going to come this ruler, and later on it talks about Jesus Christ, and his God is Yahweh. And so here it was, all these things are going to happen before the day of Yahweh. We won't go into all the day of Yahweh. So we got Isaiah 2:12, Isaiah 3:16. Look, I'll just read a couple. See if you can get the theme. Howl ye, for at hand is the day of Yahweh. As a veritable destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Isaiah 13:6. I think I said 3. Isaiah 13:9. Lo, the day of Yahweh coming fierce and overflowing, burning with anger, to devote the earth to destruction and her sinners. I think we just read that one.
To desolation.
Joel 2:1. Blow you the horn of Zion. Oh, we just read that one. We read that one too. Go to Joel 2:31. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon. Okay, that was in Shavuot or Pentecost. Let's see here. Trying to read something we haven't read. Amos 5:18. The last of them. Oh, we read that. We almost read all these.
We didn't read Obadiah.
Zephaniah, near is a great day of Yahweh, very speedy, the noise of the day of Yahweh, a strong man there, bitterly crying out. Can you imagine Yahweh bitterly crying out? What's that going to sound like? So on the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, Acts 2, as this picture is being painted, and all of a sudden they realize the day of Yahweh's begun. What did they say? Go back to Acts 2. And, oh, I forgot. Mom, will you go to Joel? You go to Joel 2. Go back to Joel 2. I knew I was forgetting something.
Joel 2 what?
Just go to Joel 2. Okay, where did... Verse 16 says, "This is that which had been spoken through the prophet Joel, which is the beginning of the day of Yahweh." After he starts saying about these things and quoting the book of Joel, 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words of Yehoshua, Mashiach, a man pointed out. And go down to the end of verse 20, 23, what does it say? You see where it says, the same by the marked out counsel, foreknowledge of Yahweh, given up through the hands of lawless men, suspended who? You slew. You killed Yahweh's son before he came. And then we go on to verse 36. Surely then let the house of Israel know that both the Lord and Christ hath God made him, even the same Jesus whom ye crucified. And would you read chapter 2, 31 and 32, Mom?
I'm not there. Have Dad do it.
Joel or?
Joel 2:31.
Oh, I can read that.
Yeah, told Joel 2:31.
The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awful day of Yahweh. And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered.
Pause right there. He just said the day of Yahweh, and he stopped right then and there. Verse 37, when they heard this, they pricked their hearts and said, he stopped at verse 31 of Joel. But what does 32 say? Read verse 32 again.
And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered.
If you turn. And right here, they turn. When they heard this, they pricked their heart. They turn, just like verse 32. If you turn. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what are we to do, brethren? I used to think about, and he goes, repent. You better get ready to the day of Yahweh's beginning. Now, if you go to Acts 13, we won't go there. The Apostle Paul dusts his feet off to go, it was needful for us to go to the Jews first, but you rejected Yahweh and his son? I'm going to the nations. And actually, it said, I can actually go to Acts 13. And even us, we want the Christians to have a hunger for his word. Do you want to know if you're a good church? Are you required to bring a Bible? You're not required to bring a Bible? You're in a bad church. Not a good one. You're a baby church. You're in a nursery school. You don't even have to know. You don't have to bring a bowl. We cut all the meat for everybody here. I knew somebody that I saw them and their teenage son. They gave them the Heimlich maneuver, and they cut their food before they ate. And the reasoning was because he's got a small esophagus, and I had to cut his food for this 16-year-old kid. And I saw the Heimlich maneuver, and my thought was, what does he do? He's at school. What does he do? He's on vacation when he's at his dad's house. And here the food is being cut for him, and that's most churches today. We'll give you two verses. Here it is. Don't even have a Bible. But in verse 48, right before this, it is the Jews trying to kill. Who's trying to kill the Apostle Paul? Jews. And verse 48, and they of the nations hearing this began to rejoice, just like Nineveh, and to be glorifying Yahweh. And they believed, and as many had become disposed for life age abiding, and the word of the Yahweh went on to be carried throughout the whole country. But the Jews did what?
Urged on.
They urged on, devoted when? They were not going to bow down. We're not going to give in. Come and take it, Yahweh. We're not scared of the day of Yahweh. Here's this whole thing is. And so this is why we believe that the day of Yahweh did not begin. When is it going to begin? Does anybody know when Christ is coming back?
It says
for the body of Christ, that's for the Jews, not for us. So the body of Christ, it said in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, it's not real clear. We don't know when Christ is coming back in the moment, the twinkling of the eye. And the Jesus Christ says, nobody knows the time, neither does the Son of Man when that's going to come back. But verse 51, but they shaking off the dust of their feet against them went into Iconium. They rejected it. And that's where I believe Jesus Christ was looking, going to the nations, just like Jonah. But so, the day of Pentecost, you can read it. A good way to read it is read about the day of Yahweh. And read some of those things about what it's going to be like. Read the book of Revelation is a good one for a lot of Christians that never read anything else. You just read it. You're going to go, that's what those Jews were thinking about. When they repented, I just thought their heart was broke. I can't believe we killed the Messiah. Golly! I used to think, well, now you got to become Christians. Oh, the Jews aren't. I just did a teaching. I was thinking about that, going, yeah, you become Christians now, Christ in you. To the Jews, we can't say Jesus is Lord. We just, everybody else said crucify him. They might try to kill us too. That's what I used to think until this. Now I'm going, that's still true. That if the Jews became Christians, what's going to happen to them? They will be persecuted. But that's probably the least of their worries. The day of Yahweh is here. And so, another way of reading Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Telios Ministries. And know, my children, that I got great stories and adventures. And life is about our relationship. Number one, remember that. It's not getting people to follow you. Don't get distracted. If people follow, great. But if they depart, let the blind lead the blind. Don't get distracted whether people are with you or not, but stay focused on whether you are with me. Amen.
Amen.